to that. And sadly, there are those who think they are called to argue. They feel like they have been enlightened and they want to debate doctrine and scripture. Yet, guess what? Sadly, most of them have never experienced the true God. And yes, there's absolutely a time to study the Word of God, to show yourself approved, as the Bible tells us very plainly. But guess what? Our God is an alive God who has made Himself real through the Holy Spirit so we can experience Him, if not on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. And when you experience Him, if you study church history, wherever there has been times of awakenings and revival, that was when spiritual songs were given to hungry and thirsty people. And they wrote them down to be shared down through generations. Understand with me that when the Spirit draws near, you want to praise Him. And you want to find new ways to do it. Whenever there's been a revival, there's also been generosity and charity. You start giving things away, figuring out how to help others. Why? Because that Spirit is upon you. It's in your heart to just bless others. And I can testify that this New Life family here does such that in supporting our outreaches and then blessing others. Not because someone told you to, but because God puts it in your heart to do it. David first appointed a man by the name of Asaph to lead and set in order the worship and to give a continual praise to God. David was so intent on praising God that he said, I've got administrative duties. I have to go out to fight some battles. But Asaph, you make sure that they never stop praising God. No wonder God loved David so much. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it says the praise went like this, verse 8 of chapter 16. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. And then, of course, this was penned and later put in the Psalms in chapter 105 and then other chapters. Listen, when you desire God, whenever you draw near to God and His Spirit begins to fill you afresh, here's what happens. You want to worship Him. It's just a want to and a have to that rises within you. And yes, you can start singing. Even if you're not a good singer, you can start singing. I love to tell the story. My wife could not hold a note in a bucket. But I'm telling you, there was something about it. She'd get around the house and in her own little atmosphere, and I dare not interrupt. And boy, she would start praising God, and it was a melody to the heart of God, I promise you. You'll be singing to the Lord, glory to His name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in His strength and seek His face. What a man of God David was, and in spite of his faults, and we know we've read where there were many, he was certainly not perfect. Yet God called him a man after His own heart. What does it mean to seek God's face? It means to always be drawing near to God. And then verse 27 of chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles, this stood out to me. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His dwelling place. One translation has it this way, strength and joy are where He is. Strength and joy are where He is. When you seek Him and you draw near to God and experience His glory, just know that there is strength that comes and there's a joy unspeakable that comes to our lives. Well, Pastor, what's that got to do with us? Well, I'm so glad you asked. We're not living in tents anymore. There are no sacred articles now that Christ has come to us as Gentiles who have been grafted in and belong now to the family of Abraham. We now have access to the blessings that were given to Abraham. And for us, there's no sacred buildings, there's no sacred boxes, there's no gold that's sacred, there's no land that's sacred. We don't have to travel 3 or 4 times a year to Jerusalem and offer sacrifices. There's no particular place that we have to go to that's sacred. Why? Because now our Heavenly Father seeks those who will worship Him, how? In spirit and in truth. This altar, as holy as we might think it is not the only place that we can pray. You can pray back on the back seat or throughout this building, and guess what? God will hear your prayers. Nowhere does it mention in the New Testament that we have to literally go back to the hill where Jesus was crucified, because it's a sacred hill. It doesn't even mention about us literally going back to the upper room where the Spirit first came. That upper room experience can now be anywhere, anytime. God can fill you with His presence wherever you decide to reach out to Him. It can be here where we meet as a church. It can be on the fishing bank. It can be in the deer stand. Brother Gary, it can be on the golf course. It can be back in your tool shed in the backyard, or the easy chair at home, or guess what? Even in your bedroom, sitting up in your bed. Understand, God is everywhere waiting and wanting to fill His people. When David's son, Solomon, became king, Solomon and David both felt this, and they asked, why should God live in a tent when we live in homes? So they built a temple. It was from a tent to a tabernacle to a temple with the general construction plan, the same blueprint, and it would become a fixed structure in Jerusalem. And in that place where the temple once stood, it's where now the mosque of Omar is right now. It was in Solomon's temple, which he had built and David helped finance before he died. This was the only place on the earth that God said, I will sacrifice, I will accept your sacrifice of animals in this place. And then all of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem, they got so polluted in their hearts and in their minds that some of them brought idols into the very temple of God. And the people were then admiring the temple. It was one of the 7 wonders of the world, and it made the Jews so very proud. And Jesus comes along one day and He says, you see that temple over there? Not one stone will be left upon it. I'm going to knock the whole thing down because you love your temple more than you love me. You go to the temple, but you don't come to me. And the Bible tells us Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. We find then, some 40 years after Christ died on the cross and was resurrected, that the Romans surrounded Jerusalem, because the revolutionaries of that day in Israel said, we have to get rid of Rome. We have to get rid of Rome and its influence and its rule over us. And Rome responded by sending the Roman armies, and they attacked Jerusalem and they defeated it. The temple was destroyed and Israel was thrust out of their land. And until 1948, they never have been able to come back to the land. But they did. They did. Today, all over the world, they don't dare offer sacrifices in their synagogues because God said there's only one spot, and that's in Jerusalem. But the Mosque of Omar is there in the place where Solomon's temple once stood. So right now, because they didn't accept Jesus, God has taken away the ability for them to sacrifice any animals. And their own scriptures say, without the shedding of blood, there is no covering of sin. So there's no more holy place. There's no more temple. There's no more anything. Yet we know the Bible tells us God still loves His people. And He will turn His back. He will turn His heart back to them. And guess what? In the end, they will be saved. And He's going to allow the third temple to be built again. And it will be built on the Temple Mount across from the Mosque of Omar with a wall separating the two. And they will build it and once again begin the animal sacrifices for just a season. Because once that happens, we're told in the scripture, the Antichrist will come on the scene and take over until Jesus returns and kicks the Antichrist out. And He takes His place as King of Kings. Understand, He allows it all to happen again to show His people Israel that He is the true Messiah. When the fullness of... And Paul writes in Romans, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come, all Israel will be saved. Meaning delivered. He alone can save them. Nobody else can. He alone can. And they are already now ready to build the temple. Every block has been prefabbed. All the utensils have been made. The Levites have trained now for a number of years to prepare for animal sacrifices. They now have the red heifers in place to be sacrificed so their ashes can be used for cleansing. Guess what? We truly are in the last days. But here is what we need to see. Paul writes these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So where is a temple? Where is God's temple right now? We are the temple. We don't honor a building. We are to honor God's temple, which is what? Our bodies. We're the temple. We're not superstitious. There's nothing spooky about such a thing. Understand, Christ is in us as believers. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you've surrendered your life and give your heart to the Lord and accepted and asked Him to come into your heart and dwell. So let's carry ourselves by the grace of God in a holy way, then that is pleasing to Him, because guess what? Again, God lives inside of us. And it's sad how few Christians think of that when they actually wake up in the morning time. I am God's temple. And that's why Paul says avoid sexual immorality, because you're degrading and you are devaluing God's temple. Again, for us, there's no sacred buildings. We are the sacred building. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this was God's intention from the very beginning. No more buildings and dwelling with people in that way. The prophet Joel, under the influence of the Spirit of God, wrote these words from Joel 2:28. He said, in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He was saying, in my Spirit will not only be with them, my Spirit will be in them, and through my people, I want to manifest myself to the world. Not through a physical temple, the Christians who have my Spirit inside of them. So we're the temple, and it's no wonder the church then began this way. When the day of Pentecost came, this was the beginning of the Christian church. They all were in together in one place, and suddenly it sounded like the blowing of a violent wind that came from heaven. The scripture tells us, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came to rest on each of them. All 120 in that upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, and all of them, guess what, were filled with His Spirit. God was starting a Christian church era where once He dwelt in the tabernacle and the temple and in the Old Testament, and then over in the time of the Gospels with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He dwelt without reservation and fully in Jesus Christ, who walked among His people for 33 and a half years. But after Christ went back to heaven, God says, I'm not dwelling in a building. I'm going to dwell in all of My people. When the world meets My people, watch this now, we are His people. When the world meets My people, and they were speaking of the world, they're going to see a manifestation of My love and a manifestation of My kindness through My people. And that's been His plan all along, which sadly much of the church has lost. And I've said this before, in a moment of crisis, let's not be saying, well, I go each Sunday and Wednesday night to New Life of Alvareda. Save that for later. That doesn't have to be the very first thing. That's not going to help that lost and hurting person who needs something from Almighty God in their moment of crisis. Remember, the Holy Spirit is within you and me. Take the moment and let the river of life flow from your lips to the one that's needing a touch, and allow them to experience God's healing and delivering and saving power through you. Don't hesitate to pray for those who are in need or hurting. You know, I got in a terrible habit. Somebody said, would you just be praying for me about such and such? And through the years, I said, sure, I'll be praying for you. And we would hang up, and God would, he smote my heart. He said, why don't you pray for them right then? You know, and it can be anywhere we meet, one-on-one. Don't say you're going to pray and then you're going to go down the road forget what they were asking for. Take the moment. Pray the prayer that needs to be prayed over them. Today, let's remember those promises that we have. The Bible tells us that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus spoke that of the Spirit, which wasn't given because Christ had not died yet and had not been glorified. But that's how the church began. It was not through teaching, not through the Ten Commandments, not through a Bible. It was through His Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives life. Understand, we can't change ourselves on our own or through our own flesh. Only God can change us from the inside out. As I said last week, the religious folks want you to change the outside first and then let God work on the inside. That's not how it works. Don't worry about the outside. That'll come. Let God do a work in our hearts and in the hearts of people. 1 Chronicles 16:27 again. Strength and joy are in His dwelling place. In the Bible, in the day that we're in, I can tell you, we need strength to endure those difficult moments in life. Have you ever been through some difficult moments and Satan seems to whisper, just give it up. Just give it up. It's no use. There's no sense in going back to that place. They don't love you. They don't care about you. They smile. So there's no reason for you to go back. Just sleep in on Sunday morning. The devil is a liar. Oh my gosh. It's in His presence there's strength. And yes, there's strength here when we gather together and begin to worship the Lord. and hear testimonies of God's goodness and His love to us. We're not to be afraid to face those tough times in life. We will need strength to stand for Christ in a world that's increasingly hating Him. So we can understand we need strength and to stand for Christ, not being mean, not being spiteful, not being vengeful, but standing firm in our faith. Where God is, there's everything that we that we need. And it's in His presence and glory that changes us, Sister Nora. Let's determine that we will not only desire His glory, but let's declare His glory over our lives and to others. Let me ask, what are you lacking in your life today? Is it the power to do what you know God wants you to do? And then you feel weak and you give in to temptation? Listen, I may not be able to help you, but I can point you to Jesus who gives the Holy Spirit. He can help you. Are you lacking in love this morning? Are you out of kind of sorts with a lack of self-control? Understand, God will help you with whatever that habit may be. God gives us self-control. And it's His Spirit that does the work. One last thing is about the joy of the Lord that people desperately need in their lives. Believe it or not, there's more sour and depressed people in the world now than they've ever been before. And unfortunately, guess what? There's a lot of those folks in the church. Oh my gosh. There's no lasting joy or peace in their lives. Oh, they say they're Christians, yet one day they're all sweet and telling you how good God is, and the next day they're moody and they're complaining about everything and everyone. Can I just say, what a terrible advertisement that is for Christ. You need to go back and hide in your closet. And guess what? The world can see it, and they know the real you. You know, when the Spirit is on someone and filling someone, they have lasting joy. Amen. We need to get that jug out every day and take a little chug-a-lug. Amen. What's that jug for? That's my joy. That's my joy. Listen, it's only by the Spirit. Guess what? We cannot be taught joy. We can't be taught power. But only through the Holy Spirit does power and strength and joy come our way. Amen. Can I just tell all of us that we need a renewed dip? Not a dip of snuff. No. A fresh dip in the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He's here this morning. The joy of the Lord is in the house. Amen. He wants to help us. And guess what? It's not by might or power. It's not by the apps on your phone or by your computers. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Understand with me that yes, everything has its place, but without the Spirit, we have nothing. We have nothing. Without the Spirit, the Word is dead. It's just a dead Word. So what is it you're needing this morning? Can you be honest with the Lord and say, I need to go to the river? I not only need it, but I want a fresh touch in the river of His glory. Listen, He already knows where we are in our spiritual walk. He knows every one of us. He created each and every one of us. But He wants to hear your heart as you declare your need with your mouth. He already knows it, but He wants you to declare it so. Lord, here I am. You see what I said yesterday. I was mad at that goat. I had that goat a bowl of feed, and I was fixing to feed him, and he takes his head and just butts it and scatters the seed. And oh my gosh, I gave him the foot of fellowship, I'm telling you. what they call the left hand, the left kick, the left hand of fellowship. He went behind the tree. And so he waited till I was merciful. I filled up the bowl again, gave him some water, but I didn't say bye. I just left, you know. Amen. His name is Woody. Woody. Woody's not very nice sometimes. So here's what our prayer needs to be. Lord, I'm the temple. Come and fill your temple. Woo! I want that joy. I need that joy. I need your strength. I need your power that only comes from you, Lord. Lord, in each of us and in this church, fill us over and over and over and over again. Help us to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. I love it, Brother David, you and Brother Charlie, getting out there in the aisle. And when they feel it, here they come, two or three of them, walking around. Oh, my gosh. Awesome. Hallelujah. Don't let us have a man-made religion. Let us have a true, living God experience. One last thing, let me ask. Has God been good to you? He has. Declare His glory. Again, our verse says, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. That means tell everybody that you come in contact with about who He is in your life and what He's done for you. Every one of us have a testimony. You may not be up here behind the podium, but I'm telling you, you have a testimony to share. I've said it so many times before and I shared the story. My mom, oh my gosh, she loved the little neighbor next door who was not a believer at the time, but Mom would bake her a skillet of cornbread. And I mean Mom made good cornbread, crunchy on the bottom. They call it what, a pong of cornbread. She'd take it and hand it to her over the fence. Oh my gosh. Mrs. Moore was so excited about that. And it just opened the door for Mom to become her friend and eventually be able to win her heart to the Lord. So awesome. Don't be afraid to let your light shine in a dark world. Speak up when the door is open for your testimony. Be that salt in the earth. In verse 25, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Now, we have seen all over the news this week of a young devoted father and husband who loved God. And most of us know his name was Charlie Kirk. And he was martyred here in our nation because of openly and unashamedly sharing his faith in Jesus Christ. And he did it in love. And guess what? Folks hated him for it, for speaking the truth of God's word. The enemy thought that he would kill the testimony. And all it has done, I believe, is awakened a generation now of believers, young and old, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ more boldly and louder than the world has ever seen. And I believe that through this tragedy, it will certainly trigger the last day spiritual awakening that we have only talked about, that I believe will usher in the return of Jesus Christ. So yes, we are in a fight for our lives. We have to fight and contend for the faith. And this is what Paul, as a seasoned father in the gospel, he said to young Timothy, Timothy, there are some things that have been entrusted to you, and so you've got to fight to keep them. It's one thing to fight to get them, but it's another thing to fight to keep them. When we leave today, let's determine that we're going to experience God in every way, every day.
desire him. Fight the good fight of faith. Submit to God, and the devil will flee. And guess what? Let's continually declare the glory of God. We've got a little video. Let me just go ahead and say, those watching online, we love you, and we pray that this message has touched your heart today. We hope to see you again soon. God bless you. I've got, as we end today, we've got just a 1 minute little video.
I don't like the way the country is going, and to do something about it. Take that risk. Take that leap of faith. Stay involved. Trust God and act obediently. Romans 12, 2 verse. That God will use all things, for good for those who love him. It's bigger than you. I want you to remember that. It is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. You are here to make somebody else's life better, the pursuit of liberty and freedom.
You know what gives me strength? The hundreds of thousands of you that say, Charlie, keep going.
1 Corinthians 5 and 15. So that's all pretty amazing evidence, not just intra-biblical evidence, but extra-biblical evidence that Jesus Christ was a real person. He lived a perfect life. He was crucified, died, and rose on the third day, and he is Lord and God of